Morning. Test, test. Is on? Okay. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Can you turn this up a little bit more? This mic? All right, 2 Samuel 21. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David sought the presence of the Lord, and the Lord said, "It is for Saul and his bloody house, because he has put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And how can I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" Then the Gibeonites said to him, "We have no concern of silver or gold or with Saul or his house, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." And he said, "I will do for you whatever you say." So they said to the king, "The man who consumed us and who planned to exterminate us from remaining within any border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of the Lord which was between them, between Saul, or David and Saul's son, Jonathan. So the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whom she had born to Saul, and the 5 sons of Merib, the daughter of Saul, whom she had born to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And then he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the mountain before the Lord, so that the 7 of them fell together, and they were put to death in the first days of harvest at the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until it rained on them from the sky. And she allowed them neither the birds of the sky to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had stolen them from the open square of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines struck down Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. And they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the grave of Kish his father. Thus they did all that the king commanded, and after that God was moved by entreaty for the land. Now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him, and they fought against the Philistines. David became weary. Then Ishbi Benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, that you may not extinguish the lamp of Israel." Now it came about after this that there was war again with the Philistines at Gob, and Sibekai, the Hushathite, struck down Saf, who was among the descendants of the giant. And there was war with the Philistines again at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jareth, Oragim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was war at Gath again, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 number, and he also had been born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Amen. Okay, so to understand this chapter, we got to go back a little bit. I don't know if you remember the Gibeonites. Remember the Gibeonites when Joshua had captured Ai and a few other cities? The Gibeonites came in and they acted like that they came from a very far country, and they basically made a treaty with the Israelites. Well, they found out a few days later on that these guys actually were their neighbors. And so Joshua asked them, "Why did you do this thing?" And in a kind of quirky way, they expressed great faith. And if you remember, they said that you will certainly take over this territory because God is with you. Even though they didn't believe in God, but there was that statement of faith, like, surely you're going to take over this land. So we were greatly afraid of you. And so Joshua made an oath with the Gibeonites that they would be, basically, they would not be slaughtered. So a couple of different things. If you remember going all the way back to Joshua, a couple of different things. One, Number one, and we talked about this, I think it was Joshua 9 or so during that time. Number one, don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on what you see with your eyes. Don't rely on your own mindset or whatever, because that's what they did. They didn't consult with God. They didn't ask, Lord, should we make an oath with these people? I mean, should we make a covenant with them? And they didn't even bother to ask that, and that's basically what happened. So they got smacked down from the Gibeonites. Gibeonites totally tricked them in this way. But also note as well, even though the Israelites were tricked by the Gibeonites, God still made them keep their covenant. This should give you a little idea of how important it is, the promises that we make to God. So I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but I'm going to do a little pivot from that. These guys tricked the Israelites. I mean, that was evil, what they did. But yet, God made them keep the covenant. This first part is about that covenant. So Saul goes and he basically kills, and actually, we don't know where it happened. Some people believe it was probably at Nob, and the Gibeonites were probably helping the priests during that time. And so when they kill the priests, they probably kill the Gibeonites then. Another scholar says, no, that happened later on, but there's no record of it. But surely something happened because a famine hits Israel for 3 years, and every year David goes and says, Lord, why is this happening to us? And finally, the third year, the Lord speaks to him. It's because of your slaughter of the Gibeonites. In other words, it's because you have failed to keep your covenant with the Gibeonites. Even though they made the covenant out of false pretenses, this is how important God says covenant is with me. When you make an oath, this is how important it is. No matter how it came about, once you make the oath, it's done. It's sealed in heaven. And so David calls the Gibeonites together and basically says, what can we do for you? Obviously, this is a known fact that Saul had grieved God and grieved the Greek Gibeonites by trying to wipe them out. And the Gibeonites said, we don't need anything. And then David says, no, really, what do you want? I'll give you what you want. And then they say, all right, whoever is responsible, give us seven of their sons. And seven being the number of completeness. So it wasn't a random number. It was during this time. And as we see today as well, it's the number of completeness. Those seven sons will satisfy, will make atonement for that. And so he takes the seven sons, all from different people, but the descendants of Saul, and they're hanged at the gallows in Gibeah. And thus that story's finished, basically. Now these, you have to recognize, one, that that David was not offering any, wasn't trying to get rid of his adversaries. He wasn't trying to wipe out the sons of Saul. This was a plea of the Gibeonites, and this is what they said: this is how we make atonement. Give me those seven sons. And they hang them. So David is not culpable in this way. He's offering what the Lord has asked him to do. In other words, make atonement. So these guys are taken care of. They move forward. There's a daughter of Aya, Rizpah, and she goes and she basically, and remember, these are two of her sons are part of this group, and she protects them. And so what they do, obviously they hang them, and then they go on to the floor. They make sure the birds don't come and beasts. And that's generally what happens. Birds come, vultures come and peck their flesh. The beasts come at night, and also beasts meaning wild dogs. And she protects them, and it moves David to say, we need to have a proper burial of Saul and Jonathan. And you remember the Philistines had done all, decapitated their heads, put them all over the place. And the sons of Jabesh-Gilead went and basically risked their life and took their bodies, if you remember. And then, but it's been just sitting there. And so they decide we're going to take their bones and then the bones of these seven sons and give them a proper burial at the cemetery of Kish, who is Saul's father. And so this is done there. So let's go back to that a bit. Again, showing how important it is for us to keep our promises to the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if you promise something to God, you made an oath to God, God keeps that oath, and He keeps it for generations. This is another era that's happening here, and that's how important it is. Now, let me go the flip side of that. Okay, the flip side of that is if we understand how important it is for us to keep our oaths with God, can you imagine how important it is for God to keep our promises with us? Think about that for a moment. Even if it's done out of malice and it's done out of trickery and it's done with evil intent, and God still calls the Israelites to be faithful to that promise, that oath, can you imagine if God has promised us something by the Spirit of the Lord, how important it is for God to keep His word? Huh? I mean, that's pretty amazing. And obviously, God is a good father, and so He did not come up with these oaths out of fear or anything like that. But if He's made a promise to any of us as His children, beloved children of His, can you imagine how zealous He is in keeping that promise? If you're a single person here, and you have a word from the Lord that you're supposed to be married, I want to bless you and say God is zealously keeping that word. If you are a parent, a husband and wife, and you don't have kids, and God's promised you children, believe how zealous God is in fulfilling that promise to you. Just be patient. If God has promised you something in your work, if God's promised you healing in your family, God's promised you salvation for your family, for your parents, or your uncle, or anything this way, you better believe how zealous God is in keeping that covenant with you, that He is faithful to His promises. He is the God of yes and amen. And so sometimes we get discouraged and weary, you know, through all these things. But God has a plan, and if he's going to be so zealous in the Israelites keeping their oath with a bunch of traitors, not traitors, but deceivers, imagine how zealous the Father is with His promises over us as His children. You know, there are some promises and some visions and words, you know, that I've received in my own life and they're still not come true. And sometimes you look at the landscape and you think like, oh my goodness, when is this ever going to happen? But I need to know and I need to have a full assurance that God's going to take care of it, because His words don't fall to the ground. Whatever they go out, they perform its function. And the Bible says it does not return to us void. And so we can rest assured. And so, brothers and sisters, if we have any of these promises in our hearts, then maybe the Lord can encourage us through the story of the Gibeonites. Notice also later on that the Gibeonites actually get merged into the people of Israel. And so we see that there was a divine plan in this behind already. And there's actually quite a few famous people that are connected to the Gibeonites. You know, one like Rahab, the prostitute that saved them, and, you know, other things that happened. So, let's get to the next part. Now, the Philistines start rising up in war. Maybe they see David running for his life, and so they begin to be entreated a little bit more. What's unique about this is actually that these armies are led by the descendants of Goliath. And in fact, Goliath Jr. is here as well. Right, that's his son. It also names him Goliath. I mean, that's how magnanimous he thinks he is. So now, do you remember in 1 Samuel 17, do you remember when David went out and when he was charging against the Philistine, when Goliath, how many stones did he pick up? You guys remember? Five. One for Goliath, and he had four other stones, right? I think this is actually where it comes into being. I believe that was a prophetic act. It wasn't a random, he just found five stones, because four sons, four who were born to the giant, get struck down here in chapter 21. And it says here, particularly, look at verse 22, "And these four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." And we see that this is attributed to David in this regard. And so those four stones was a prophetic act of these four sons, four relatives, probably better term, that fall at the hand of David in that way. It's just, I don't know. I just thought it was very interesting. We can draw some spiritual insight, but, you know, I mean, you'd have to really pick at straws for that one. So let's go back to this. Let's go back to the Gibeonites. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. If you don't have a job today, but you know God says that I'm going to give you a job, rest assured it's coming. You have pain in your heart, incredible pain in your heart. And you know God has said, I'm going to heal you. Rest assured that His promises are coming. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. God speaks to the prophet. It's coming. The vision is yet for the appointed time. There is a time. Though it tarry, in other words, though it doesn't come, wait for it. And the word for it shall surely come. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today to encourage us that God is working. He's moving in our lives. He's going to bring about His promises. And let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's ask God for patience. Let's actively wait.
Troubles, but until that day comes, Still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. And oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Let's pray this morning, huh? Let's pray to the God who never lets go of us, who never lets go of His promises over our life. If you're not experiencing something that God has promised you, it's coming. It's coming. The moment that the place that we wait is really the place of faith, is the place of trust. It doesn't happen when we receive it. It happens while we're waiting. Will we still trust the Lord? Will we still follow Him? Will we still love Him? Or will we blame Him or curse Him or walk away from Him? It's that place of faith. It's the crucible of faith. Like Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Let's pray that we would trust Him. Let's go before Him. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that's battling through cancer and going through chemotherapies. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray over our community that is battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through illness, non-cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for open doors. Today, let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the aftermath of the elections. Let's pray for Carrie Lam, our new chief executive. Let's pray that the Lord would use her to bring unity and healing into this city. Let's pray against the wealth gap, that God would really move the hearts of the rich to give to the poor. Let's pray for revival among the churches. Pray for our friends here, Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church. And let's continue to lift up the Hong Kong students that are contemplating suicide even now. Let's ask God to release hope. Let's lift up the staff. Let's ask God's blessing. Ask God's hand to be with us as we serve the Lord with all of our heart. If we could pray for Pastor Ricky especially. He's still sick at home today. Let's pray for God's healing over him. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for our welcoming and our baristas. Let's pray for a spirit of the Lord to be upon them to be inviting and engaging to our guests that come. Pray for our worship at Sound and our AV teams. So let's pray for a heart of worship and a spirit of excellence as they go about their work. Let's pray that the teams would lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Old Peak Road, Soho, Westville, and TST. Let's pray for the leaders. Pray for the hosts. Pray for people that will lead the discussions. And pray for just a real powerful time of communion with God and with each other. Let's continue to pray for our annual retreat, so a few weeks away. And let's pray for our speakers. Let's pray for Bobby and RT. Let's pray the Spirit of the Lord would speak to them, that the anointing would flow through them. Let's pray for their health and their safe travel here to Hong Kong. Let's pray, Lord, that God would just give them specific words to share with our community. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you again for a reminder that we need to be very careful with our words, God. Lord, you told us, Lord, that we'd be judged for every word that we utter, Lord, in the open or also in the secret, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that when we do promise, when we do offer an oath, God, that we will keep it, Lord, just as you are faithful to keep your promises to us, God. And so we thank you, Lord. Help us to walk and move in faith, Lord. And we bless you. We love you. Watch over us today as we seek to give your son Jesus all the glory and praise that he deserves, Lord. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.